Which every knee shall bow and one day confess as Lord. Those who believe it and those who don't will call on the name of Jesus. Thank you that we have the privilege of doing that here and now. It's a name that sets us free. It's a name that gives us peace, the name that gives us hope beyond understanding, the name that delivers, the name that heals, the name that gives life, the name of Jesus, heaven's Christ. Our Lord and our Savior, the one who intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us. You're the one who lives forever to make intercession for us. Thank you that we can fellowship with you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can enjoy your presence. Thank you that we have the gift and the privilege of fellowship. Dat ons die same zijn van die gelowiges kan geniet. Hier is in ons harte, die begeertes van ons harte, is die teenwoordigheid. Ons soek nie net dit wat in die hande is nie. Ons soek die wat die hand uitsteek na ons toe. We're not looking for what's in the hand of the giver, we're looking for the giver. The Lord, the giver of life. Father, would you visit strongly with us this morning in the name of Jesus. Manifest your presence in each person's heart and in their mind this morning. Even as we proclaim your word in the midst of the world this morning, would you touch bodies? Would you deliver people of sickness and infirmities, Lord, in the name of Jesus? Holy Spirit, we submit ourselves to your Lordship this morning. We want it known in the heavenlies, and we declare that God is watching over his word to perform it, and you will bring to pass everything, every purpose that you have in mind for your word this morning, not my sermon. Your word. Thank you that it shall not return to you null and void, Lord, but achieve your purposes, that your kingdom will be built in our lives and in our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, our minds are weak. Holy Spirit, grab hold of our minds, arrest our thoughts, and keep them captive as your audience this morning, as you speak to your people, to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen. And amen. Church, I wonder how different our lives would be if we'd stopped praying for our circumstances to improve. If we stopped praying for things to go better with us. If we stopped praying for things to get easier and prayed like this, Lord, I don't care how I feel. I don't care how it affects me. I don't know how I'm going to end up, but I want your maximum glory to come to pass in my life. Think about that for a moment. If you're anything like me, sometimes I'm like water. Water always takes the path of least resistance, Dion. I want what comes easy, quick. I want quick relief. Not only my vegetarian meals in the microwave, but my circumstances. I want to put it in the microwave of God, druk 'n knoppie, en dan 30 sekondes moet alles net opgelos word. I wonder how different our lives would be. Instead of us praying, Lord, me, and I want this, and saying, Lord, it might not be the most comfortable for me, but what's going to give you the maximum glory? We're busy with our sermon series called God's House of Prayer. Let's look at one man to start off with who prayed like that. He went through stuff. I have never met another man in my lifetime, I mean I'm only 23, granted, that's gone through stuff like this man. And I don't see one account in his life where he prayed, Lord, stop it, please, make it easier, stop this storm, stop this tribulation, stop this pain. No, he was at another place, folks. He wanted God's maximum glory no matter what happened. Come with me in your Bibles on the screen to the second book of Corinthians in the 11th chapter from verse 23. If you're ready, say, speak to me, Lord. If you're not yet ready, then say, wach 'n bietjie. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are we ready to display it for the folks there? Guys, good, excellent. Let's go. So what's happening here is there were false apostles that came on the scene and they tried to milk people of faith like you see happening the world over today, promising them all the blessing and all the healing and everything I got and milk them of everything they got and claiming to be high and mighty men of God. So the Apostle Paul is addressing himself, is addressing this. And he is a humble man and he never boasts about himself. But the time came for him to affirm his apostleship and say, guys, I don't want to brag, but I just want you to see this is the difference between these false muchus and real people that are called by God. So you get the background. Is everybody with me this morning? All right. So from verse 23, it says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. They gave him 39. You wonder why it's 39? The clever people have worked out that every form of disease and sickness known in the world today comes from a group of 39 diseases. So Jesus was whipped 39 times to pay the price for every one of the sicknesses and diseases we can face. That's for free. You don't have to pay for that. So we move right on. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Not hippie era stoned. Stoned. Where they don't like your message so much. I want those who know English in this place this morning. Please tell me, what is the English word? That's the question of the century. I think it's one of the mysteries of God. What is in English? Tell me after the service. He was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at the sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people. My own people. Imagine coming to church and you just get attacked in Jesus' name. Huh? That's what this cat faced, man. From my own people. The Jews as well as the Gentiles, I face danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I face danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. False brethren. We've experienced a few in our short little lifetime. Yeah, somebody say amen. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. Some of you will think the world has come to an end if you do not have food. You should try fasting sometime. It'll change your life. Thus saith the Lord. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. He's speaking to the church he planted in Corinth. And he means a big droog gemaak, by the way. They started so well and then they lost the plot. The people in Corinth did everything to the extreme. When they were living flat out for the devil, they'd do it extreme. No perspective. And when they started living for Jesus, they did it to extreme, no kingdom balance. Are you with me, church? And Paul had to come and address that. That's the nature of the apostolic ministry, to set things in order. So Paul went through some stuff. Let's go on. How many of you have been through stuff like Paul has gone through? Can I see a show of hands this morning? Yelich, man. Yelich. You've got doctors, medicines, you've got, I don't know, lots of things that this earth didn't have. You've got transport, motorized transport. You've got access at the tip of your fingertips. You can access information and help from across the world in an instant. Many aren't upset and say that you've gone through the stuff that Paul has gone through. Let's just be real with each other. But wait, there's more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 7. Even though I've received much wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Imagine that God sends a demon to oppress you and harass you just to keep you humble. Any one of you want to raise your hands now? And he pleads with God. He said, Lord, just deliver me, please, please. 3 times he pleads with the Lord. Like, just get me out of this mess. And Jesus comes up with a wonderful, wonderful answer to him. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. This is from the New Living Translation. And Paul goes on to say, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the troubles I suffer for Christ. And when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How many of you take pleasure in your persecutions and your sufferings for Christ? How many of you, your prayer life is like that? Thank you, Lord, for these persecutions because you're getting glory. Thank you, Lord, for these attacks on my life because you're getting glory. Thank you, Lord, for this illness that the doctors have no answer because through my pain and suffering, you're getting glory. How many of you pray like that this morning? Can I see a show of hands? How different would our lives be if we prayed for maximum glory for God instead of praying for God to get us out of this mess? Folks, I'm going to be honest with you this morning because we're family. Is that okay? I wish that I was at this place. This morning, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. So God, help me. God, help me. I wish I was at the place when I go through stuff like this that I'd say, Lord, somehow, someway, get glory through this. You see, it's easy for us to give God glory when it is manskein in Russia and everything is just so lekker. It's easy, man. Then we're hallelujahing and we're praising there and we're shondai, rondai, wandai, all itabota up there with the best of them. It's true, Brendan. I let the popo hit the fan. Get behind me, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We start casting you. How do we not know that somehow, through pain and suffering, for you being in a place in your life where you need a miracle from God, God wants to, through you, show the world, this is how I deliver the helpless. This is how I do the impossible. This is how I turn circumstances around when man can do nothing. How's the world going to see a miracle if we are not in a place where we need a miracle for our lives? Is this making sense to anybody this morning, church? It's not the kind of preaching people get excited about, but God knows we need to hear it. Hopefully the rest of you get it before the end of the day. I love you. Many ons do it, namely. Don't take on push from Hierdie Soutie vanoggend, okay? So, church, I wonder how many people, you see, this is the stuff that it's like the secret things of the Lord. I ask this question this morning. How many people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus when they looked at Paul's life and thought, it just doesn't make sense. This oak has got every reason to complain, and yet all that comes out is the praises of God. Spoke to a man at yesterday's ministry outreach. Not going to mention his name because some of you will know him. Had every reason to complain. Because of bad dietary choices most of his life, they've ripped out his stomach and stuff, and he lives with a stomach on the outside now. And I didn't know it. I know this man. I know this man. I've been ministering to him for years at a time when he and his wife were so anti the gospel, so anti Bible, it's just a creed. Now that they've gone through the stuff, they say, I thank God every day. I'm like, yes, Lord. If it takes your guts to be removed for God to get your attention, well, let him remove your guts. It's harsh, but it's waarheid, ne? And I never knew this about this man until he told me, and I thought, you got every reason to complain and moan and groan, and yeah, you are at a place where you're saying, I thank God. A few years ago, I had a conversation with these people, also in an outreach context, where the things inside of them just manifested against the word of God. They didn't want to know nothing. One person got up from a table and walked, but I was going to preach until Jesus told me to shut up. And he hadn't told me to shut up, so I was not shutting up. Now, it's different in their lives. And I encouraged this man. I said, you know what? You've got every reason to complain, but you're not. I shared the concept with them about the part of the brain that can only deal with anxiety and thanksgiving can't deal with it at the same time. It's only one part of our brain that can deal with it. So the point I'm trying to make is that the Apostle Paul had so much to complain about, and he wouldn't. What do you do with somebody like that? What does the devil do with somebody like that? Whether you're alive, you're praising Jesus. When you're dying, you're praising Jesus. When you're rich, you're praising Jesus. When you're poor, you're praising Jesus. When you're healthy, you're praising Jesus. When you're sick, you're praising Jesus. The devil does not know what to do with you, and all the while, God gets the glory. Church, Shouldn't we be at a place where we pray like that? Come on. Before you get excited, just know that we're accountable for what we know. So once you've heard this morning, and you go out, be very, very careful before you pray, Lord, get glory through my life, even when it's going bad. Because guess what's going to happen? You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out, church. So, standing between the pillars of the Philistine temple, Samson could have prayed for his life to be saved, and he didn't. He said, Lord, give me strength just one more time. One more time, Lord. His hair started growing back, which is a sign of God's favor on his life. His eyes are gone. As strong as he was, he couldn't even say no to women. But now, he couldn't see, but he was not without vision. There's people that can see, but have no vision. And Samson had a vision. He realized, Lord, you put me here as a judge in Israel to bring about something better. And he prayed. He said, Lord, just one more time. Just one more time. And the building collapsed on Samson. He killed more people in his death than he ever did in his life as a judge of Israel. What would have happened? He said, Lord, just give me strength. Put new eyes in my sockets so that I can remove this paint and off-drop. He would have killed a handful of Philistines. But more people, Philistines, godeloses, were killed in his death than his life. Is anybody getting the picture this morning? You can see that in Judges 16, verse 23 to 30. So, the ultimate example of somebody praying for God to get glory through his life. The ultimate example. The greatest intercessor of all time. The one who is the epitome of righteous prayer to the Father. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The time comes for him to be arrested, and he knows it. The time comes for his probably the bitterest, if there is a word like that, the most bitter betrayal to come in his life from his circle of closest fellowship. The ones who say to him, Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Others are going to leave you, others are going to forsake you, but not me, Jesus. Jesus, I am the one on which your church is going to be built. I am the Apostle Peter. I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. Imagine Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples, not the ones that were his favorites, because God had me blue-eyed boys. He's got no favorites. But I submit to you that possibly Peter, James, and John were the ones that perhaps leant in a little bit closer. Eugene, stand up. You say, Groot, sterk man. So, yeah, kom staan hier so, asseblief. Ek gaan hier check hier so. So, yes. A representative of God. He's made in the image of God, isn't it? Shalane would say, yes, Matthew, preach it. Yes, hallelujah. Peter, James, I submit to you that the Apostle John, even closer, Scripture describes him as the one whom God loved. God had love for all of them, but John was the one that would want to get closer and just say, Lord, I want to hear your heartbeat. Give God a praise offering and ask this one. Even those ones that were closest to God, when the pulpit hit the fan, they were nowhere to be found. God. Jesus is alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. You ask him, guys, it's going to get a bit rough now. I need you. No, Lord, we'll be there. How long must we pray? An hour. What, an hour? Okay, Lord, we're going to do our best. We've got you, Lord. Let's just pray. Jesus prays, he comes in. A ding Egyptian PT. When he needed them most, in terms of the humanity of Christ, humanity betrayed him like they never had before. And he could have prayed. He didn't even have to, he could have thought. Just wipe these people out. And he says, Lord, if it's possible, the humanity of Jesus. Lord, if there's some other way that I do not have to become sin for this lot, do it. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And because of that selfless prayer, you and I are here today. And we've had a chance to make right with Jesus and with God. The ultimate example of somebody not wishing their uncomfortable circumstance to end. It has been scientifically and medically proven that when a person goes through extreme stress, the largest organ of your body, you see your bodini, that's your fowl. So it's gone right over some people's head. The largest organ in your body is your skin. Your skin has got 7 layers. When under extreme stress, the pores in your skin dilate so much that the blood reaches the surface of your skin. So much stress he went through as he was becoming sin for us. Not just taking your sin upon him, sir. Becoming sin for you and you and you and you and me. His pores dilated to the point where he sweated. And he still said, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Have you been persecuted to the point of bloodshed? Have you been stressful because of the call of God on your life? That you go through stuff like this? I don't know about you, but me. I memorize all the scriptures. I quote them. I name it. I claim it. And I try and pray myself right out of the pickle instead of saying, Lord, many of the steps of a man's heart, right? Many of the plans of a man's heart, but you direct his steps. You direct his steps. Psalm 37 verse 23. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Many of the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 33 and verse 27. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his way. Instead of saying, God, you brought me to this. I know you're going to get me through this. I don't understand this, and it does not even make sense to me. But somehow, someway, because you are you, get glory through what I'm going through now. Can you see the difference in the way we can pray, folks? In the way we can pray. In the way we can pray. I'm going to get real, real personal with you now. Real personal. Ek gaan uit ons huis praat. There was a time in our civil war, our married life. In our married life, where I lost count of the amount of operations my wife had gone through. I just gave up counting. I think it was at 14. And I gave up. That's it. Not a knife. A knife. God has healed people on the other side of faithful prayers that I've prayed. But my wife? My Lord, I don't get this. And so I can go on and 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 on. Eventually I got to the point, Lord, no, somehow you're going to get glory through this. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't even know the purpose. So what's the purpose of this? All I can say to you this morning, church, is this. That were it not for those trials and tribulations, I'd probably have distanced myself a little bit further from the Lord than I am today. Do you get the picture? You see, it's through those things that I say, no, God, come. I need you here. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Is it making sense to anybody this morning? So for that passage of scripture with Jesus is Mark 14 and verse 36. Perfumers, how are we doing for time? Perfumers need to crush flowers. You need to crush a flower to get that sweet, sweet scent out of it. My favorite smell in all the world is vanilla. Something can smell like anything as long as it smells like vanilla. I don't know the name of the flower, but there's a flower that smells like vanilla. I remember as a kid going to my buddy's house, I'd walk past and it would catch, I'd catch a whiff and I'd I grew up in the South, so it was normal for them to see kids sniffing things in the streets. Just like normal, there's another kid sniffing vanilla. And the scripture speaks about you and me, Leonard, being the fragrance of Jesus. How are we going to be the fragrance of Jesus unless we allow the crushing and the breaking and the grinding and the molding and the changing? How are we going to be the fragrance of Jesus unless that happens in our lives? No, before we get to the place, before we start emanating the fragrance of Jesus, we're like, no, one's bit himself, situation. Off one's bit me, isn't he? God just sees, like, okay, this kid's not ready for this. This kid's just a little bit too much busy with his or her agenda. You know, this kid makes claims with their mouths like, you know, I live for Jesus, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. We quote those scriptures, and then when it needs to become real, Please don't be so quiet. I speak to the Lord. What am I doing to your people, Lord? But we need to hear this, church. You see, you know where we are at in 2024? You know what the world needs? There were so many fake examples in the world that Coke had to bring out a slogan for a season called The Real Thing. The Real Thing. And when it comes to issues of faith and so-called Christians, the world needs the real thing, Dion. I've got a brother in the Lord who loves Jesus. He doesn't even call himself a Christian because he's ashamed to be called a Christian because of our Christians' love. Do you get the picture? Anybody today is a Christian because you've heard of the name of Jesus. No, I'm a Christian. Never mind that the fruit is not there. Never mind that the gifts are not there. No, I'm a Christian. He doesn't even call himself a Christian. He calls himself a follower of Jesus. That's okay, because the followers crucified Jesus. You know what my definition of a person who goes to heaven is, or a Christian? Somebody who lives and loves like Jesus. That's the only conclusion I can come to. No title, no market synchronous. What's a woordig here for mense vandag? You can't tell the difference between the so-called Christians and the world because their living is just the same. A true son and a true daughter of God is somebody who lives and loves like Jesus Christ. You can use it if you want to. So we need to be the fragrance of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. It is so awesome. I love doing this. You know, for somebody with a big mouth like me, it's lucky to get a captive audience. But I don't know where I'm going. So I went to go pray for somebody in the Bloemfontein Government Hospital. It's a student hospital, and the lift closes, and it's a lift full of people, and the door closes. Now they can't go anywhere. I said, good morning, staff. Thank you for joining the staff meeting at such short notice. They all get their attention. Here's mom. Yes, I'm mad. I've lost my worldly mind. I got the mind of Christ. Yes, I've lost my mind. First item on the agenda is the love of God. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you and God's got a plan for your life? Some people were smiling. Some people were backing further into the corners of the lift. They had nowhere to go. I leant over to the gentleman closest to me, a 6'6" man. I put my arm around him and said, sir, Jesus Christ loves you. And God's got a plan for your life. The lift was dead quiet. Nobody could go anywhere. Nobody was saying anything. I said, number two on the agenda is, what to do when the lift's cable snaps? Now I got the attention completely. I said, in the lift falls upon you, die. Are you ready to meet Jesus? He's coming soon. Are you ready? And there was a woman in the corner. I could see the demons in her manifesting. I said, relax, ma'am. I'm not crazy. And then just at the right time, the lift doors open, and then that was verlichting for Allah. What was that? Some nutcase from the Vaal Triangle that wants to draw attention to himself? No. Somebody who knows that every waking moment is an opportunity to tell somebody about my King Jesus. The fragrance of Jesus Christ was diffused in that lift. And you know what the word says about that fragrance? To some, it's a stench of death. Among those who are being saved, amongst those who are perishing, to one the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other one the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Like, Lord, are we ready for this? So my God's encouragement to us this morning is the following. Let's have this attitude. Is everybody still with me this morning? And finally, brethren. I'm not going to pull on Pastor Paul because like several chapters later. So let's consider this kind of attitude when we go through trials and tribulations. I'll go through these things quickly. Romans 5, verse 3 to 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. James 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of you would like to be at the place? Sharon, by your next court in your life? How many of you, wouldn't you like to be there? Well, that's the only way. You've got to go through patient tribulations, trials and tribulations. Patience, how long must I be patient? I don't know. Till your character's developed. To what point? To the point where you are perfect and complete in Christ Jesus, lacking nothing. Folks, that word perfect there doesn't mean the worldly perfectionism. That word means the perfect. In Matthew 5, 48, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says that. It means this, being complete, lacking nothing in Jesus. Can you see the difference? The worldly perfection is that you've got to ascribe and live up to some lying standard that some social media muhu has set, or some magazine, or some tabloid, or some lost rock star, or some lost film star. You've got to get to that level of perfectionism. God's perfection is complete in Jesus, lacking nothing, knowing that He's your source of all, your source of hope, that all your fountains are in Him, that in Him you live and move and have your being, George. That's what it is. So for us to get to that place where we are perfect and complete, lacking nothing, we're going to have to go through. They're getting it, Lord. They're getting it, Lord. They're getting it, Lord. I don't know about you. I want to be at that place. I don't see another pathway to that. I don't see another pathway in the scripture to that place than through these things that we're praying so hard to stop in our lives. Dis swaar woorde daai julle. Dis swaar woorde. So many Christians, we all want to live for the promises of His resurrection power. We prayed it last week over each other. Those two powerful prayers from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. The same miracle working power that you used when you raised Jesus from the dead, Lord. Let that power come upon us. And we want all these lekker goeders, okay? To be participants of the resurrection power of Jesus, we need to be participants in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Nee, dank Vader, ons sal vir niemand weer hoef oorgekruisig te word nie. They don't have to crucify you, but you are going to have to crucify the flesh on a daily basis, Rene. On a daily basis. On a daily basis, you're going to have to tell your flesh, shut up. I no longer submit myself to your a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The old is gone, beyond all things have become new. I have the mind of Christ. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not dictated to you by the lusts of the flesh. I'm led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Daily. Daily you're going to have to do that. Daily you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do that where? In your spirit. Spirit to spirit. Deep cries out to deep, the scripture says. Spiritually, you're going to have to wage war in the spiritual realm against the principalities and powers and rulers of the forces of darkness in the heavens. They want to come and steal, kill, and destroy from you. You're going to have to wage war there and be strong there. Then you're going to have to wage war in your mind, which is your soul, the seat of your appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. You're going to have to stand strong there. And then in the flesh, when your flesh cries out for that 16th Double Mac, greasy cheeseburger of extra fries, what, you'll say, no. I know my tongue wants it, but it's busy killing me. You want healing in your body, but why are you using your body as a dustbin for trash? Why is it that so many lovely Christians think that they are not subject to the law of sowing and reaping? You want to be healthy and effective for Jesus? You've got to look after your temple, church. I'm just putting it out there. So daily we're going to have to do this. Daily we're going to have to do this. Go through these things. Go through these trials. Go through these tribulations so that we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is up to you. How many of you have you? I knew that.
Check one. I need more monitors and a microphone.
Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. What is this? What's going on, Lord? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory, and this, I've never seen this in the Word of God before. It became rhema to me. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. In the NLT, that same passage. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing, and this I highlighted, his glory when it's revealed to the world. I'm going to repeat that. You will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. If you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you'll be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. As we start to land this thing this morning, like I said, I wish I was living this. So this morning, I'm only preaching it. I'm not practicing it yet. To help you understand it, consider this. The scripture says, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Contrary to what the world teaches and what a lot of people believe, God actually knows what he's doing. He actually does, you know. He always has. He's not outdated. He's not so 2000 and late. You're laughing, and it's truth, love. He's not, no, that was, those things in the Bible, that was for that time, those people. It's different now. God's got to get up to speed. Doesn't Jesus know that of social media? No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 8. He's the same, my mate. He's the same. Okay? So, these things are applicable to us. They're applicable to us here and now. You will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So if we're battling to understand these things, meditate on these things. I'm almost done. If you've written nothing down, perhaps you might want to write this down. But you can get the sermons online and go to a care group and you can unpack it. Worldly Christians, stop praying. Praying Christians, stop worldliness. Worldly Christians, just stop praying. Praying Christians, stop worldliness. How many Christians do you know that are riddled with worldliness and compromise? And, die Here verstaan. I'll just, you know, the creditors want to get you into debt and to keep you in debt because then they control you. And what is their slogan? Buy now. Pay later. Come on, man. I remember the first time I'm digressing a little bit. First time I ever tried to apply for a credit card. I've only skilled gemaak and I needed a credit card for something. I don't know. Ek was as 'n seuntjie in die polisie. Hulle wou nie vir my credit card gee nie, maar my salaris was nie groot genoeg nie. They didn't want to give me a credit card. They wouldn't give me today. You got to keep them away from you trying to give you credit, so that you can get in debt, so that they can have you by the, so that you can be in debt. Buy now. Pay later. So in Christian context, what does it sound like? Sin now. Pray later. Sin now. Pray later. God is grace. God is love. Sin now. Pray later. You might not have a later, friend. You might be at that place in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus says, sorry, I don't know you. How many of you remember that from 2-3 weeks ago? Worldly Christians stop him. Maar sê, ek is te besig, man. Ek is te besig. You know, die klein kinders, dis 'n handvol mos. Het jy klein kinders? Nee, ek het nie. Ja, dan moet jy my sê ek moet bid nie. Ja. Die klein kinders mos. Ja, ek moet kos maak vir almal. Ek het huis skoon, man. So that took all of God by surprise, right? So the call of God on our lives for prayer is only for certain people that have time. We make the time for that which is important to us. This man, I know him, he's my family. He'll make the time for what's important to him. He'll drop everything that he's doing. He's a hard-working man. But if it's important enough to him, he'll make the time to help you, to be there for you. And drop whatever he's doing. If he's in a place where he can help you, I can help. He'll make the time to help you. Make the time. We make the time for that which is important to us. So I wonder, church, how important is prayer in your life? As we close off, I've asked the sound guys to ready a song for us by a group called King and Country. The song is called The Proof of Your Love, or Proof of Your Love. You're going to listen to it. The lyrics may or may not come up. It doesn't matter. Dis duidelik genoeg dat jy sal kan hoor. And the lyrics go like this. And when I heard the song, I was like, wow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The lyrics say, let my life be the proof of your love. Let my life be the proof of your love. Gooi hom. And don't be shy with the volume. See, it is nie 'n stilte kerk tipe plek nie.
How you died, love is speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give all I own to the poor, or even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love.
This is the echo of our hearts this morning. It's such a solemn prayer. It's a serious prayer. It's a fervent prayer. And yet it's a very, very daunting prayer. We humbly come before you this morning. We acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're God over all. Holy Spirit, take us beyond these moments of emotion and these times of natural excitement and get us to a place of earnestness with you. Holy Spirit, come upon us, anoint us, and strengthen us to live our lives in such a way that we prove to the world that you're the God of love. That we prove to the world that you're coming again. That we prove to the world that your grace is sufficient for them. And that our strength is in you when we are weak. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said amen. Folks, we want to give you an opportunity. If anybody has got any form of need, any prayer request, anything, please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you here. In front, also the care group leaders, their spouses, men, ladies, whoever comes to the front, that there's folks available to pray, please. Or else they'll be waiting 16 days for me or whatever. So if you have any prayer requests, anything that you need prayer for, remember that I don't have an answer for you. I can't fix you. But together we'll seek the face of the one who can, the one who has the answer. So any prayer requests, please come to the front. We love to pray for you. For those of you that need to go, just please grant us the privacy up front, yeah, quietly, or you can stay and intercede for us while we pray for folks, for his kingdom come and his will be done. If you need to go, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Please travel safely and do it to them before they do it to you and show random acts of kindness. Thank you, church, for listening. Bless you guys. Yeah.